Blog Talk Radio.
What if God was one of us? What if God was just a dove like one of us? Open the love in the club like one of us. Trying to make it off the sun like one of us. Every night, placing calls up above, seem like God won't pick up. If everyone show me the way, guide me when I grip the whip. In the city we living in is killed, are you getting kicked? I was taught to keep breaking, misguided in the fix. Forgive me, I done grip the stick. She the devil, she was bad. Long weeds, fruitful eggs, rounding up in pretty faces when I'm getting a front of bed.
Hey, 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 world. Welcome to Out the Gate with Pammy Gates. You are on live tonight with me, Pammy Gates, and my special co-host, Miss Desi Baby. Desi, you on here?
Hello.
Desi. Hey, love.
Yes, I am here. How you doing?
I am good, I am good, I am good. For the next 90 minutes, Desi and I will be bringing you unapologetically me. The world has more than enough copies, so it's about time that you be yourself.
Yes.
So, Desi, honey, we have talked all week about any and everything under the sun, so let's just hop right into what it means to be unapologetically you.
Well, I feel like there's, like you said, so many carbon copies. There's only one Desiree. So for me, I am, as long as you're happy within your skin, you will be able to accept the unapologetically self that you represent. So, you know, you just get out there, do you, don't give a damn about who's thinking what, how they feel about it. You know, sometimes, it's you have to be politically correct. But for me, I'm always politically incorrect. It took a while for me to be able to get to this point. So I'm not going to change and conform and do anything to appease anyone. You know, well, of course I still work in the corporate world, so of course I have to wear a mask. But in my personal life, you know, accept me for who I am or be defeated.
I think that's where we get it wrong, though. You just made an excellent point. Working in corporate America, I have to wear a mask, but in my personal life, I get to be me.
Well, you know, I said I wear a mask, but to be quite honest with you, I'm always me. You accept me for who I am or you don't. You know, I know how to sit in front of HR and say what I need to say, but I'm still going to be who I am. I just won't drop the F-bomb here and there, you know. So, to me, that's kind of wearing a mask, because my favorite word is the F-bomb. So, it's fuck this and fuck that all day long. But I know not to sit in HR, and you know, I don't give a fuck. Oh, you don't? Well, there's your job, you know.
True. Okay. I worked in corporate America. No. You bring up a great point, because I worked in corporate America. You know, I was a manager in a call center for 5 years, and then I ran the front office of a hotel. So I know what you mean by not being able to use your favorite, oh, fuck this, fuck that. But
yeah.
I had one thing across, like, both jobs that always tend to have come up was my resting bitch face. I can't help it. It's like I sit there and I be look, and I don't even be knowing I be doing it half the time. That's what the funny part is to me. Like, I don't know that I'm sitting there and the look on my face is like, would you shut the fuck up?
Yeah.
You know, I just be thinking, I be sitting there looking all normal, kind of in my Kanye type of way. I'm normal. Like, this is what I look like all the time. But it's been brought to me several times by, different coworkers, and one time by my direct manager that you just look like you over this. Like, smile. For what? I don't even like y'all for real.
Exactly. Exactly. So what the fuck do I need to smile for again? And that's what I would love to say. However, I would say, well, you know, I have no reason to smile. I'm not happy here. So, you know, I don't have to smile with you guys. You're manning me. But when I get out on the floor, because I, too, was a supervisor for a very long time. I was a supervisor in medical research, and also I was a supervisor of a lab in the phlebotomy department. So, you know, of course, the resting bitch face will come out of nowhere. You know, if I didn't, I wasn't feeling the shit, you could tell by my face that I wasn't feeling the shit. So.
But when you say that's a part of your personality, like not even not feeling the situation, but it's just a part of, it's who you are. Like women hate, some women, not all women, hate being called a bitch when they completely are a bitch.
You know,
and I freely
I
say that
a bitch all the time.
No, and I mean not a bitch in a negative way though. Like I'm talking about in the positive connotation that you can take the word bitch. Prime
well,
example.
Like, mm-hmm.
Beyonce. So. Okay, we know she just did Beachella. I watched it all over YouTube, even though I can't really stand the Beehive. Beehive, if you're listening, please don't kill me. I want to make it in this world. But no, like I watched the whole performance. But the songs she chose, one of the songs was called Getting to the Money or some shit like that by O.T. Genasis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this, I went back and I listened to the song because I'm one of those type of people. I have my own set of music that I love to listen to. I won't deviate from it. Like, you look at my playlist and, like, do you ever listen to anything else?
No.
So I went back and I was listening to it, and then I went back and I watched her dance routine. That
mm-hmm.
song, to me, when she chose it and she did that dance routine, it was a big fuck you to all her haters. Because
yeah.
the song says, I be getting to the money. You know, people, everybody mad, which is true. And to tie that over to what you and I do, like not, you know, not your professional job, but us in the literary world, we have to fit almost this stigma of how you gonna sell.
Yeah.
You and I talked about this earlier before we came on the air.
Yes.
Like, well,
yes,
this
we
is selling well, so you should write about this. Or this person
right.
is doing that, so you should do this. What the fuck for?
Exactly. I'm my own person. I am an individual. I am not a part of a group. I mean, even twins have their own identity. So, you know, we have to be unapologetically us in any instance. You know, of course we have to water it down, but technically we're still who we are.
But I don't think
you
we
know?
Are. I think that's where that facade of I don't really know who I am because I'm being pushed in this direction. I'm being told to do this. I'm not able to really show who I am. And not saying that the entire literary world is like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes its page from corporate America, and I need to put this hat on you to make you fit in and conform.
Yes.
But it's the truth. It's the truth.
I
you
mean,
know, whether people want to say
it
or not,
it is
the
truth.
It's the absolute
is,
truth.
It's the absolute truth. I totally agree.
And prime example, Kanye West. I love Kanye. Mm-hmm. Okay, I've always loved his freedom of expression. Kanye could do no wrong. Kanye is like Kevin Gates in my book. He can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Even when he do wrong, he can still do no wrong. Like, you know.
Exactly.
His Trump comments, okay? You know, he's a Trump supporter, make America great again, all of that. You know, I stood with Kanye when Kanye said George Bush didn't like black people. I still feel George Bush don't like black people. But, you know, so when he went to the sunken place, and now he's, exactly, now he's liking Donald Trump, I don't think he personally likes Donald Trump as a person, per se, more so than he likes that man's business mentality.
He has a very great business mentality. He is a great businessman. And I can agree to disagree on this view. Donald Trump is a great businessman. Does that make him great for president? No. You know, but he is. I agree when Kanye says he likes him, but he didn't say he liked him as the president, and people are just taking that shit and blowing it out of proportion. They taking it in their own context. They're just taking what he said because he's Kanye West, it's a problem. Because he's being who he is, who he's always been, since the graduation, who he's always been. I've been a Kanye lover since he made it out. Since he came out. I've always loved him because he's outspoken and he don't give a damn. You know, he may have lost his way just a little bit when Dr. West died.
I don't think he ever really lost his way. I think that
I'm not saying
he wore that mask for so long that now that he's starting to come out because there's nobody left to restrain him. Everybody can say, you know, Kanye was this way before his mama died. And now he's this way since he's married to Kim Kardashian.
No, I disagree. Dr. West had him by his reins. She was pulling the reins. So he wasn't able to be who he is today. I think he wore a mask to appease his mom because he loved her so much. He toned it down.
I love my mama too, but my mama know that her daughter
has a resting bitch face.
Exactly. You know, I love my mom, and you know, I'm really free spoken around my mom, and she, you know, sometimes her and my grandma be like, you know, tone it down. Even my sister be like, hey, you know, respect your elders. I respect my elders. You know, I live in the damn Bible Belt. I have no choice but to respect my elders.
Right.
However, this is who I am. You know, society has come a long way from that. You need to be this way to fit in. But it's with every single generation, I feel that because this generation don't like it, they want this generation to tone it down. And then when this generation gets to doing what they want, the next generation come out doing what they want, and they want them to tone it down.
Mm-hmm. And
that's not a fair
assessment
to make.
It's a revolving door, you know. It's a real revolving door. It's just like a post that I made not too long ago about the music. When our music, our parents didn't like our music. We don't like our kids' music. Our kids are not going to like their kids' music. You know, it's been trash since the beginning of time. If you compare it to the previous generation, what was acceptable back then, what was not accepted in the 60s is now accepted in 2018. So they're able to be more free, to speak more freely, to be unapologetically themselves, to be able to express in whatever they want to do in any form of expression. And
so who,
you know, who?
So you're a 60s baby, right?
I'm a 70s baby.
Oh, my bad. Wrong generation.
Don't give me 10 years now.
All right, I'm going to take them 10 years away. You were born in the 70s, which means you grew up in the 80s. You were an adult in the 90s.
I was
What makes you now from, you grew up in almost every generation that I've been alive in.
Mm-hmm.
What makes you unapologetically you?
Freedom of speech.
And I asked that question because you did exactly what I expected you to do. You paused to think about what makes you you. I don't feel that you should ever pause. When somebody says, what makes you you? I don't think you should ever have to pause to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you really honestly dealt with who you are, you know, I'm talking full acceptance. I wear my individuality like a fucking tattoo. You see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't personally do that, but that's how I feel people should be. And I'm working to become more that way.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on being unapologetically me. I'm still working on being comfortable because, of course, like I said, I still work in corporate America. So for me to be unapologetically me 24 hours a day, I wouldn't be a part of corporate America. I wouldn't be able to do it because the way you and I are speaking over the air right now, I would never be able to sit across from the man that I work for and have this conversation. You know, I wouldn't be able to openly have this conversation with this man.
But do you feel that you lose a piece of yourself every time you do that?
I do, because I have, like, right now, I stepped down from my supervisor position simply because I was not able to be who I was. They wanted me to wear a mask, and that's not who I am. I'm not comfortable in masks. I'm so uncomfortable in masks that I don't participate in the masquerade ball. You know, so for them to be able to pull my strings and make me out of a puppet, and they're my puppet master, I told them they could take that fucking position and shove it up their ass. And the first thing they said was, oh, you're going to take a pay cut. And you know what they got? My resting bitch face. I don't give a fuck about a pay cut. You know what's going to happen? You're going to lose your benefits. They got my resting bitch face. I don't give a fuck about no benefits. You know? So after they stripped me of all of that, I was happy. I was able to be who I was. I was still able to help the people who were previously under my supervision. I was able to help them more without the title. So I was able to be unapologetically me and not have to answer to these fucking suits. I didn't have to answer to the suits. You know, that's what we call them, the suits. So, you know, I was able to say, you know what, fuck that. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to run this ship. And we're going to get everything done when it needs to be done. But as a supervisor, I had to limit my verbiage. I had to limit my actions. And I was so uncomfortable being that person. So I told them to take that position and shove it up their ass. So in that moment, the mask came off in the corporate.
But how long did it take you to get to that point?
Probably about 6 months.
Was it immediate?
It took 6 months because at that point I was worried about the financial aspect of it. You know, and I'm not a Christian. I don't claim Christianity by far. But I'm a firm believer that there's God. So I prayed and I prayed and I asked God, what should I do? He said, you know what, child, you're selling yourself. You're selling yourself short. You're selling your soul for a dollar. I went on. When I took that pay cut, that was the best decision I ever made in my life. And then
but
guess
I think
what?
We
started
all
coming,
do
they
that
started
at
coming
some
for
point.
My character. They started
I think
coming
we all
for my
do
character.
That at some point, though. You lose
mm-hmm.
yourself for the almighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Something that they say has no value, we sell our soul for.
Something
from the
that
moment,
has no value.
Right. From the moment we are born, we are ingrained with that ideology that for the almighty dollar, you need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what's
that's
so fucked up.
True, but with our society, we come into people not knowing who they are because that's one of the things that they've been ingrained to believe. And when people start to free think and talk about just being themselves and being unapologetically themselves, some are praised. And some are looked at as crazy. Oh, they got issues. Don't listen to him. They got issues. And I say that because I was one of those people who used to say that about people. Like, oh, my God, they're crazy. And that came from me being, you know, like I said, I live in the Bible Belt now. I was born and bred in the Bible Belt until we moved to Ohio. And I got to see that there was different from what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that whole, when I got pregnant at 13, you know, I'm an unwed mom. I'm going straight to hell.
You're disgraced.
Exactly. You know, then it was, oh, my God, I got to get right. I got to atone for this sin. I got to do this. I got to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was 18, I'm just like,
what did I have
besides,
to make right besides
right? What do I have
parents?
To make right? And, you know, that
besides,
played along with me partly starting to discover who I was. Because, like you said, you don't claim Christianity. I don't claim any religion. I'm very, very spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm even a minister. That's the funny part about all of this. I am a licensed and ordained minister. When you read my books, you may not feel that way, but I am. I am Minister Pamela V.
Mm-hmm.
And I've dabbled in different religions. You know, I was in Islam for a minute. You know, I was about to be a full-on convert to being a Muslim. Then I came back out of it, went to being apostolic, Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was like, I was on this journey to figure out who the hell I really was.
Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, that was your spiritual journey. That was your
But it wasn't really a
road.
Spiritual journey because I've read the Bible, I've read the Quran, I agree with some things, and I disagree with a whole lot.
Yeah.
No, it was,
I mean,
it was Pam searching for who Pam really was.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I really?
Well,
and you know from living in New Orleans, living in the South, girls are taught a certain way.
Mm-hmm. We have our
and you know we come to believe
to wear and our cross to bear.
But it's not our cross to bear though. It's the generational cross to bear. It ain't mine. I didn't start this.
Exactly.
Your life ain't my life.
So it's like passing the torch. It's like they passing the torch on to us, wanting us to walk in their shoes, wanting us to live. They want to live vicariously through us. So they tell us that this is a sin, that's a sin, this is a no, that's a no. You're a girl, you shouldn't do this. Says who? It took me a long time to realize that because I was a girl, I didn't have to wear pink. You know what I'm saying? That's being unapologetically me. Pink is for girls, blue is for boys. Who the fuck said so?
I don't know. I like pink. Pink and purple are my favorite colors. So, you know.
I hate pink. I hate pink because I was forced to wear pink.
Who
my mama
you?
Had pink everything.
I need
you know?
A new co-host world. If anybody on the line wants a co-host, Dez is about to get kicked off. She don't like the color pink. Yes, that's me.
I mean,
I can't do it.
I just don't like it for me. Pink is beautiful, but I don't like it for me. That's not my color. My color is blue. You know why? Because my mom forced me to wear pink. So to be rebellious, pink for girls, blue for boys. I want to wear blue. I don't want to wear pink because that's what you want me to wear.
So you really hate the color because you're rebelling against your mom. It's not that you personally dislike the color. You're rebelling against the generation before you.
Yeah, because they told me that I had to wear pink because I was a girl. How much you want to bet?
So when
you
did
know?
You drop
so,
that cross?
Oh, a long time ago. I probably was about 12 or 13.
Now, I'm not talking about the cross of wearing pink. I'm talking about the cross of rebelling against your mama because she made you do it.
Well, I have come a long way from being the rebellious teen. I was a rebellious teen. But when I became a parent at 14, I had to learn that rebelling wasn't the way. You know, you can't burn your bridges. And when you're being rebellious, that's what you're doing. You're burning bridges.
But some bridges need to be burnt, like legit burnt to the ground with a can of gasoline while you holding the match standing on that bitch sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And guess what?
So,
I didn't burn
plenty of
them
bridges
motherfuckers
that,
down. I didn't burn plenty of them motherfuckers down.
You're burning bridges. I tend to disagree there because sometimes you need to. You have to for the sake of your mind.
There's plenty of bridges that I've burned on purpose. There's plenty of bridges that I purposely burned. So I will rescind that last statement. I'll take that back. You know, because you're right. Some bridges need to be burned. And I don't have a problem lighting that bitch a blaze. Set it ablaze. I don't care. Back in your way. So, you know, so I'll take that back. You're right. Some bridges need to be burned.
Now, I don't want you to see it my way just because I said that. You know, I'm just pointing
out,
you know,
you're right.
Personal.
You pointed it out, and you're right. You're right. You pointed it out. You know, 100% of the bridges don't have to be burned. But I can tell you that there's a few bridges in my life that I burned first. Because I'm tired of going back and forth across that motherfucker being used. So that's a part of me that is unapologetically me. I burned that motherfucker on purpose and I don't give a damn.
Sorry, the way you said that. I love when your New Orleans come out because, you know, I love the accent. So let's jump a little bit. Let's jump over to me. You know, I put you on the spot a lot, even when, you know, we not on the radio and we talking. I tend to just, you know, put you on the spot with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Your ass do, but I love you.
but you know that's who I am. Like, it wouldn't be me if I didn't get on your nerves, if I didn't put you on the spot, if I didn't do certain things, it almost wouldn't be who I was. Not a purpose thing. It's just a part of my personality.
Mm-hmm.
But
charge it to your mind, not your
thoughts. One of the reasons I really chose the topic unapologetically me was because if you don't know, my son is graduating on the 15th of next month. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I made it 18 years. Woo! But I had to have this sit down with my kid about life. And, you know, we've talked about life before, but this was a different type of, because, you know, my son, he don't want to go to college, which is fine with me because I won't press any of my kids to go to college if that's not what they want. But he came to me and he said he wanted to go to the military. And normally I'd be like, all right, kid, fine. But I thought about the state of our country, and I'm just like, you know, I'm usually that easy, you know, easygoing mom. All right, kid, I'm going to support you with whatever you want to do. But with this, I found myself trying to talk him out of it.
I feel you.
Not because.
You know, my 21-year-old is military.
Right. You know, not because I didn't think he could do it, but because I had this fear in my heart, like, if my son go away,
he
may never
come back.
Which I think is, you know, is a any parent.
I mean,
I think that's really like their mindset, their heart set. But he hit me with when I was trying, like, no, you don't want to do that. And, you know, I jokingly said, I'm going to have another son if you go away to the military. You know, I can't have my balance be off. I need two boys and two girls. And he was like, and when he hit me with, well, haven't you ever done what you wanted to do? I had to look at him for a second, like, whose kid are you and where did you come from? But I realized that, you know, I think this really started last year that, you know, I stepped out on the bridge. I quit my corporate America job. I went into business for myself. Ran an event planning company and said, to hell with everything. I'm either going to fail or I'm going to win.
Well, think or swim.
Right. And then, you know, I went out on another limb and became an author. Then I uprooted my family and I moved us to Tennessee with nothing. Like, we just showed up with clothes on our back and had to start from scratch.
Yep.
And, you know, not a lot of people know that, you know, me and my kids spent a good half of a year sleeping on air mattresses in the hard fucking floor to, you know, really get to where we are now.
Mm-hmm. That was your fight. You had to fight that battle. You
but
had
it,
to
it wasn't
that.
Really
no
a fight. It was a choice because I was running from who I had become. And I know I freely talk about being unapologetically me now. But had you met me 2 years ago, you wouldn't have got this, Pam. Because 2 years ago, I was just aloft in the clouds. You know, I was doing whatever it took to make other people feel right. I was a people pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not really who I am.
Mm-mm.
I'm not a people pleaser. I don't even like people half the time. I just, you know, but when he hit me with that, haven't you ever, and I looked at him like, damn, I can't even say nothing to that because I have. You know, I quit my job to start a business. When I got bored, I went back to corporate America. Got bored with that 4 months in, became an author, uprooted us, moved us to another state, got another job because, you know, I needed that support. But then I put that job to the back burner and said, fuck it, I'm going to be an author full time, whether I make it or whether I don't. And, you know, I thank God for my editor and my marketer and my like, she is one of my best friends. You know, she gets in my ass a lot because I don't do everything she tells me to do. Or, you know, she tells me something, I don't listen, and then I go back to her like, damn, I should have listened to you because this is what I realized. And, you know, she be cussing me out. I know she be cussing me out. Sometimes she don't openly do it, but I know she be cussing me out. Every time I hit her up, she probably like, what the hell she want today? But, you know, she has always believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And as I started to come into this unapologetic part of myself, I remember her saying, if you just don't do you.
That's the best way to be. You know, and
so
like we've discussed this.
And when my son, you know, hit me with that and I'm just like, damn, he right? I'm like, you know what, kid, go for it. Do whatever makes you happy. As long as it makes you happy. It's enough parents in this world telling their kids, no, I don't do it because I feel this way, or don't. Just go ahead and fucking do it. You know, if you fail at it, you can always come back. Mom got your back. We just going to start over and try this shit again.
Yep.
And in that moment, I felt more liberated than I have felt in a very, very long time. You know, I don't let people in. I don't let people see that when I when I say I don't care, most of the time, you know, I say it in such a playful tone that it makes people think that I really care when I really don't. You know, if I make a mistake, I'm going to own up to it. If I hurt somebody, I'm going to own up to it. You know, I really do mean I'm sorry when I say that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me as a person, I don't use those words. I will apologize to you if I'm wrong, but I will never say that I'm sorry.
Why?
You know, I text that. I mean, I'm not going to say never because I do. I say it. However, it's just like if you say you're sorry, then you're sorry. And my mom never made that a household word. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When people tell me that they're sorry, and my response is, yeah, you are sorry, motherfucker. You know, I will apologize in a heartbeat. I told you I was sorry the other day because I missed your text. So I can't say that I never say it. It's very rare that I use that word. And it's because of my background. It's because my mom didn't use the word. Simply because of whatever happened to her in her lifetime with sorry motherfucker, you know. So anytime she would hear that from my father, yeah, you sorry motherfucker, you know. And anytime she would hear us saying we're sorry, she said, I never told you to say that you were sorry. I told you to apologize. Don't use that word. When you say you're sorry, you become a sorry motherfucker. And that's just, you know, how she raised us. We rarely, rarely use sorry. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's who we are. All six of us. Six of us. It's six of us who just are against that word.
Just the word sorry is just like, mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. I've never thought of it in that context at all. We have a caller on the line with us. Let's bring this caller on. Get him to say hey. You know, we up here just being ourselves and talking. So let's see what this caller's talking about. Hey caller, you there?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Welcome.
Thank you. How are you? How are you, ladies, doing?
Wonderful.
Well. All right. I'm listening to you, ladies. I'm listening and trying to work at the same time. You know, sometimes that's how it be. So you might hear my phone keep tinging because my message is going off.
Uh-oh. Popular tonight.
No, yeah, that's the boss, man. You know all about that, Ms. Gates.
I don't know nothing. Tell boss man I ain't in it. I ain't did it. I'm trying to stay on his good side. You know, shout out to my publisher, Shamik Speed. You know, he looks out for me. trying to suck it up. But just real quick, caller, I know you working. I know boss man got you working. What do you think about being unapologetically you?
Excuse me, why am I apologizing? Well, I'm not, but I'm not. It's just, I am who I am. I am. I mean, I'm who God created me to be, and I, you know, either you like me or you don't.
I don't like you sometimes.
That's okay. It's
I love
all right,
you.
But you know what?
Thank you.
You don't have to. It's okay, because when people don't like you too much, that means that you're doing the right thing. If I'm
hell
like
yeah.
too much, that means I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
I know you heard us.
My mission isn't to be liked by everybody. My mission is just to, if it's something that I need to help you with, something I need to say, I'm your whatever you want me to be, but I'm not always going to be your hype man. Sometimes I'm going to always be that one like, no.
Yeah, because we don't need hype man. That's wrong with the world today. Everybody want a fucking hype man. You know, tell me what's
everybody.
Real. Tell me what's real. Tell me this fucking blonde wig is ugly.
Thank
you, know?
Yes.
Tell me my hair is better curly than straight.
Don't fucking send me out here in this world. In this dress, that every roll I got
please,
is showing in this
please.
Dress, and I'm looking like I'm ready to make some dough.
Thank you.
Tell me that. Tell me that I got yeast rising, you know, just my,
yeah.
Everything just hanging.
Yes, please, come on with it, girl. Yes,
we just have to be who you are, and that's what you have to do. And I mean, not all things. Well, okay. This is how I feel, and what I'm saying is my opinion. I'm not basing on no fact, but this is just who I am. Everything doesn't require an apology. You don't have to apologize for everything, you know, because 9 times out of 10, you said it. Now, I can be sorry maybe for the way I said it and how I said it, because a lot of times if I say something and it's because my feelings have been played with, then, you know, I don't take into consideration the other people's feelings. If you make me mad,
mm-hmm.
then how I really feel is going to come out, and I'm not taking into consideration your feelings. But, you know, sometimes people, you have to approach people differently. You know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you can be, okay, you know, you got to realize that person's soft. You know, another person might be a little hard, so you got to come off a little bit aggressive. But me, you get what you get. Either you like me or you don't.
Yep. And, you know, like where we from, it's respect it or check it. And bitch, you ain't gonna check me, so what's up? respect my mind and keep it moving. That's it.
That's right. That's all you can do.
Yeah, that's why I need to go ahead on and wash my hands with a check from the corporate world, because, you know, I have pulled my mask off. And a lot of the times, like we were talking about the resting bitch face, I work at urgent care. And whenever I work front desk and those bitches come in there with their attitude, I give them what they give me. And that don't sit well with my fucking manager. But you wasn't here. You didn't get to witness what the fuck I was going through. You know, I'm not going to run away with my tail tucked between my legs because I work for you. You got me fucked up.
But that's what happens when you sell your soul for the check. And like I said, it's not just corporate America. It's really in any job where you work for somebody else. If you are not the person bringing in your income, controlling your income, you really have to kind of put up with the bullshit.
Yeah. Yep.
That's true. You know.
But,
so.
You know, with fear... And our caller, you know, I think she can attest to this. We fear so much of not being comfortable that, you know, we stick within this because I don't like feeling this way.
Yeah.
I can feel you.
But you got to sometimes put that fear aside. That's that false evidence appearing real. So you just got to push it on the side. Push it on out the way.
Say that shit.
Push it on and out the way. Get rid of that fear. You know, and it's okay. It's you can be afraid to be afraid, because that's when the best things are accomplished.
Mhm.
So it's okay.
Yep.
I know this.
You just
got to
keep each other empowered. Keep everybody lifted up and.
Mhm.
Keep
like I say all the time. We need. Sometimes a queen needs another queen to adjust her crown. You know. So. In this world that we live in today, because we are unapologetically who we are, the queen want to fucking take our crown and roll it in the dirt rather than adjust it and be like, yay, you Queen Bee, what's up? You doing well out here. They're going to take your shit and run over there and do all this shoo shoo kiki. This one doing this and this one's doing that to shit on you because they are afraid to be who the fuck they are.
I have to agree with that. I would really have to agree with that.
Yeah, I know.
If my crown is crooked, let it be crooked if you're going to hate.
Exactly.
I was going to fall the fuck off and make me realize that it was crooked the whole time.
Mm-hmm. First of all, if my crown is crooked, maybe that's how I like to rock it. My shit ain't always going to be straight. I might like my stuff on the side sometimes.
Everybody can't be gangsta leaning out here.
Well, look, I want a gangsta lean like Tip. He always got his head cocked to the side. He getting it.
You know, your circle of queens should know how you wear your crown. So if they see your shit sitting straight on your head, let me fix that for you. Bitch, it ain't leaning no more. What happened? You got your head held up high. You know, let's do this. Let's get out here and get this money.
But sometimes I don't want my head held high. Sometimes I need my head to just kind of be, you know, down a little bit. Not because I feel down.
But because if my head is held high, then
your focus is constantly gonna be on me. I don't want your focus on me all the time. You know, let me be undercover. Let me walk around like y'all with my head down, making power moves.
Mhm. Sometimes we don't have to stick out like a sore thumb, simply because it's not always the centerpiece that sings. Sometimes the wallflower takes the stage.
No, I want to be the wallflower that don't get seen. Let me work behind the scenes. Let me make my power moves. And then when I'm ready to be seen, I'll walk my ass up in the middle, strut up in there like, all right, you see this?
You making power moves.
And then walk right back out the door, you know?
Drop the motherfucking mic. You making power moves. So as that wallflower, them power moves are going to be prevalent. So, you know.
I can see where you're coming from with that. I see that a little bit.
I mean, of course they're not going to know which wallflower it is. They're just going to know that wallflower making moves. Who is this person?
Right, but every move you make, whether you do it privately, even when you do it privately, if it's a big enough move, you're going to get noticed.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, our caller brought up something about fear, and I had to giggle to myself because when she was talking about pushing that fear to the side, taking the show into a totally different tailspin now. I want to talk about this toy that you sent me in the mail while we talk about fears. On an earlier show, I had said, you know, we had got on the topic of anal, and I had said that I'd never play with a toy. I've never had a toy, nothing like that. You know, I think back on that now. I think that was really a fear of something not real, plastic, touching my body.
What?
So,
when a man wears a condom, he's covered in plastic, isn't he? Or rubber.
We're going to leave my opinion on condoms and contraceptives and birth control. We're going to leave that over there because I got my own opinions about that type of stuff.
We're going to drop that on back in the drawer.
Yes. So this rabbit, apparently I learned that I got in the mail, courtesy of my co-host. I had to watch some stuff to even know how to use it, okay? I just want to say that if you are into the whole toy thing, more power to you. I like mine real, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because you had took the time to order it and mail it to me, I said, all right, we're going to do this. That was a fear that – all I'm going to say was a fear conquered, okay? So,
okay.
it was a fear conquered because I think my hesitance to do it, like I said, was caused by that it's plastic. I'm not going to know what to do with it. How do I self-pleasure myself with it? But then I realized it was just me stepping more into my femininity. You know, I'm the person who has done some shit, like, you know, getting on in a pastor's office, your head in the cemetery. You know, I've done some things, but I've never had a toy.
Mm-hmm.
I've even been tied up and cuffed.
You know, and when you said that, I said I got to do this for her. Now, whether she uses it or not.
Next time, I ain't gonna lie. From the day you sent it till last week, it sat in the drawer, unopened, still wrapped in the plastic. You know, I didn't even know that it needed batteries to work. It was just sitting there because I was cussing you out. I couldn't send it back because I didn't know where it came from. You know, so it sat in the drawer. But I was finishing a very, very, in my opinion, good sex scene. I was writing. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in my zone. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I just wrote that my character just did all of this stuff with this toy. Let me see what this is really about. It did, you know, it was an experience. I didn't like the vibration. I just didn't. It didn't do it for me. You know, I mostly did it for myself. The toy mm-hmm. was just the prop.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you set the mood with some candles, you know, me, I like my Drew Hill. So, you know, I was at 1996, Enter the Drew, remember that, with the dragon?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, mm-hmm. when you set the mood, it kind of works. But you need a lot of imagination with that. And sometimes I don't want to go that far with the imagination. I want the mood to be set, and I want my back to be blew the fuck out.
I feel you. I definitely feel you.
But, you know, since we were on the topic of fear, I wanted to just say, you know, I overcame that fear, Desi, and the toy got use. Probably won't get no more use, but it got some use.
But you were able to experience it, come out of the fear of not using it. So you conquered that fear, and now it's a thing of the past.
But, you know, there are some other things that I need to conquer the fear of while we're on the subject of fear. Because everybody has fear. And, you know, I firmly believe now that, kind of in a way I always have, that every chance you don't take is a regret that you have later on.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there's an old saying, don't live the same year 75 times and call it life. People will live the same year 75 times and call it life because they're afraid to stray from the path. They're afraid to see if that pasture is greener on the other side. What we fail to realize is that if it isn't, we can always cross, you know. That is a major fear that we all face as human beings. You know, there's a fear. I don't know anybody on this earth that has never been afraid to do something. You've been afraid to do something at least once in your life. You know, so that thing with fear, it's human nature. It's human nature, you know.
True.
We have to approach it.
But
eventually,
I'm talking about
fear
sexually. You talk about fear in general. I'm talking about fear
mm-hmm.
sexually.
Okay, sexual
we
fear.
We have two different topics of fear.
Okay,
we'll cover,
sexual
you know, we'll
fear.
Cover that on next week's show, how to overcome the fear of moving your life to the next level.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even
but
if
right now,
sex,
we're on the topic of sex.
You don't want to ride the same dick for 75 years and be like, oh, that was my life.
You do if you're married now. So all my married couples,
I mean,
she did
not mean that. But,
okay,
you know,
she ain't mean that.
Married couples who've been with the same man for your whole life, hey, no offense. Do you. Unapologetically you. And don't regret.
No, you cannot say that. And the reason you can't say that is because you've been with the same dick for 16 years.
Yeah, but that's not the only dick I've been with. So, I have played it. I have swum in that water.
If you're listening.
No, that's the only dick I've been with in 16 years. But before him, I've had some more dick.
That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about, when you said that, I was talking about couples who don't experiment, who do it in the same position, the same time of day, the same, you know, day of the week, and it's stagnant that way.
We don't make
appointments.
We don't make appointments. We just go at it whenever the fuck we feel like. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the evening, and if it hit one of us and we grab the other person, we finna get it on the pocket.
That's because y'all rabid.
We quick to say,
however,
hey, what's up? What that mean? You know what it means. Shit, let's get it.
I'm not talking about
after 16
I'm about to
run
out the door to work. Let me get this real quick. I'm talking about really putting some thought into it with some. Everybody love Fifty Shades of Grey. I actually hate Fifty Shades of Grey. E.L. James is a great author.
Read it.
I love it.
I read it.
I watched the movie.
It.
You know,
I
love E.L. James as an author, but I hate the Fifty Shades. I feel like it was watered down. I feel like, you know, he could have beat her ass a little bit more with them whips. But, hey, that's my personal opinion. But
I'm not going to say I love it. I ain't going to say I hate it. Would you do it? Be a submissive? We'll have to set some hard limits.
No, you don't have being a submissive in you. I'm just asking, would you do what they did? That's what I'm talking about.
Because
being submissive is not in your personality. You have got to be heard in its last word, in and out all the time.
Right.
You know, I'm that way myself. Like, you know, I feel like I need to be in control, but at the same time, I want to be dominated. Like, you know, I want to – I used to say I wanted to be that submissive wife, my husband is the head, da-da-da-da-da. That still might be true on some extent because there are certain situations where I just be like, I don't want to handle this. However, what I'm saying is that I lost my train of thought with the word. What I'm saying is that if in that situation, when I asked you, would you do it, I would do it.
Like I said the last time we spoke on whatever, I'll try anything twice because the first time I go in with expectations. So I'll try it. First time I go in
with
expectations.
But why would you have an expectation?
So I don't know.
What expectation could you have?
You know, just the rumors. The rumors of how it goes down, you know. I'm already expecting shit to go a certain way because of what I've heard about it or what I've seen. Cause I'm not going to sit up here and say I don't watch porn because I do. But from what I've seen and what I've heard, I'm already mentally there. So
porn
here I am.
Unrealistic expectations because not everybody that flexible.
Exactly.
Not everybody can take anal. Not everybody
right
can suck
about
a dick.
That shit.
Not every man can eat a pussy.
You ain't lying about that.
You know, porn sets some very unrealistic expectations, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody
yeah.
can hang from shower curtains and shit. Some bitches be too heavy. Some bitches be too light. Some niggas be too heavy.
Some
what the hell?
Walls
no.
just, and some walls just be too weak.
Exactly.
So
I think, you know, porn is good to set, you know, the tone when I'm trying to get some. But if I realistically know that I can't bend my ass and hold my legs behind my head like that, we not about to do that. And you know my limitations just like I do. I'm a big bitch. Okay.
And I
don't
too.
Have, you know, my yoga poses ain't got there yet. Working on them, but they ain't got there yet. That's what I'm saying. So,
yes.
You know, I think porn sets some very unrealistic expectations. But, you
they
know,
do.
Take that a step
but
further.
You know,
as us as authors, we set those same
thick.
Unrealistic expectations. We do the same thing, talking about how sloppy somebody sucked his dick. And, you know, people be reading our stuff like, people be reading our stuff probably like, oh, she nasty, knowing damn well we really don't suck dick like that.
And some of them don't suck dick at all, but they write an amazing scene. They set the fucking tone in the book, but they ain't never sucked a dick in their life. You know? So, I agree.
I don't understand how you've gone through life and never sucked a dick. Like, it's almost a staple to do.
Staple of the female community, bitch.
It's just like dudes to say they don't eat pussy. Like, let's be for real. How do you go through life
without even tasting it?
Right.
You never
like,
tried
it.
So how can you say you don't if you never tried it? You can say you haven't. You can't say you don't because you might taste it.
And I would believe, and you know what, I would really think that that person would be, this is my personal opinion, y'all. I would think that that person would be lying.
You know, because
even if you did it and didn't like it,
you did it.
You did it. You
so
know,
you
I would much rather
you
be honest
you
and say I ain't like it than, oh, I ain't never done it. Mm-hmm. You 40 years old. How the hell you? Whew.
You ain't never kissed a dick?
And I say that from personal experience. I've had someone say they were 40 years old, tell me that they've never put the dick to their lips. And I had to ask her what planet she grew up on because it didn't register to me.
Mm-hmm.
It still don't register to me. Like, I don't understand that.
Because she kissed the dick before. She probably had one in the back of her throat. But my thing is, you know, you running around saying you ain't never kissed the dick. I bet you had that dick in your ass. So what's the difference? If a man ate your pussy after y'all had sex and get up and kiss you in the mouth, what's the difference?
Well, like, that makes her eating pussy. That still don't make her sucking dick. That makes her eating
right,
pussy
right,
because he
right.
ate her pussy
her
and then he
pussy.
Kissed her. So technically she ate pussy. She didn't suck a dick.
So you'll eat a pussy but not a fucking dick? So you'll eat a pussy but not suck a dick. Now come on now. I don't know
or,
who all listening.
That goes for men too. She sucked her dick. She kissed you. Technically, you sucked the dick.
So you sucking the dick too?
I mean, I'm just saying. No, you know, some men listening to this may be like, y'all is completely out of line. Well, damn it,
I mean,
I'm out of line because that's just who the hell I am.
Who said
but
they got motherfucking lines? We don't live inside of lines, guys. We not going to apologize for it. We don't live inside of lines.
I don't
all
even.
Lines
my lines
are
blurred,
invisible.
You know, blurred lines every day.
Mm-hmm. So it is what it is, you know. Yes. So, you know, I've met a few that said that they ain't never sucked a dick, but I don't believe them.
Like how? Like you would have to run me down your entire sexual history to get me to believe.
That
you've
never,
you know, when
and
I
then some of the people that I know that say they never sucked a dick, I know who they was fucking. So I know good and goddamn well you try. If you didn't do it right, you still fucking try because that nigga like his dick sucked.
Now how would you know that he like his dick sucked? That sounds like some personal experience
because
shit right there.
Because the dudes who I know they slept with is either my brother or my cousin. So if you fucking with one of them, you gonna suck some dick. Even if you wake up with the dick on your lip, you didn't kiss it. Or you don't suck dick, you gonna wake up with it in your mouth.
There's
a
difference
minutes.
Between kissing and a difference between sucking. Now we are talking
right.
about tongue on slobbing. Up and down.
The back
that's
of
what
the throat.
Talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some ain't
I mean,
big enough
on.
To touch the back of a throat. Let's be for real.
Well,
however.
Not that. Not the back
what
of
I'm,
the throat. But you know. You know what I'm saying.
But you keep saying back of the throat. I just want to realistically
I'm
put it out there.
About the gag.
Some tongues ain't long enough to get up there. Some ain't back enough to, you know, ain't big enough to touch the back of the throat. But
right.
Kissing, you know, for me to kiss your tip, it's not the same as saying I sucked your dick.
Yeah.
Now, if I suck your dick and then I kiss you, or, you know, you eat me out and then you kiss me, then I got all that taste on it. With a kiss, you don't got no taste unless you were tongue kissing. It's just like when you chew gum and you kiss. If I peck you on the lips, yes, you will smell the spearmint in my mouth, but you won't taste it. So she, you know, she pouted her little lips and mwah, there you go, baby.
Better
it ain't
get
the
that
same.
Oh,
you know, it ain't the same.
Did she? Yes, you're right.
Yes, I really,
the same.
Yes, I really made the noises.
Around,
yes, I really did that.
Because kissing my thighs and kissing my lips ain't eating my pussy. So don't play with me.
But some people come with teeth, and then you have to draw the line.
Mm-hmm. That's when you grab the back of their head and shove that shit in there.
No, because then the teeth come with that, too. It's just like when a dude suck on your titties, but he uses teeth. Nigga, I stopped breastfeeding because my kids got teeth.
Because they got teeth. No.
So why the hell are you using yours?
Exactly.
My fun bags are not meant to be scraped or any, you know, you can bite the nipple a little bit, but don't be scraping it all over with your, no.
Mm-mm.
I might
want
to have another kid and have to breastfeed. I'm not going to have a nipple left that you keep scraping it off.
Mm-mm. This is not a chew toy.
And this is
Girl.
What we mean, y'all, when we say that this is who we really are. These are our candid conversations that we have on a regular, whether we text each other, whether we talk every day. These are things we talk about. We talk about sex openly because we're comfortable with our sexuality. You know, it don't make me feel a certain type of way when, you know, she be like, hey, have you ever tried this? No, but I would like to, girl. Let me tell you know, these are conversations we have. Just like when we started off, you know, talking about Kanye and Trump. We talk about those things because we're real with each other. And we're real with ourselves enough to accept that. You know, I can accept the fact that I love Kanye. Listen, y'all feel how you want about Kanye and his Trump comments, but I'm still going to support Kanye because he being real.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is hyping up them albums that's about to come in June. Because, you know, he wants
to
be seen.
You've got to be able to sell yourself.
I would do the same thing. You know, if
you
I was one of those type of people who wanted to get out there and really make people invest in me, every time you say my name, every time you be like, oh, Pimesh this, Pimesh Gates this, every time my name being said, whether you're saying it in a bad way or a good way, you are speaking my name, which means that I'm
hell
in your
yeah.
thoughts.
So that's when you're
in
your, the
you
bell.
Know, I'm in you. I'm in your essence because you felt the need to speak my name.
Mm-hmm.
And that does nothing. You know, it to some people it hurts, but there have been a lot of celebrities
Why?
Who have Shoot. Done the stupidest shit. People have fell off hating them, but then they were able to come back. Because all you did was drive more people to them.
That's it. So you're talking shit about me in a crowd of people that don't know me. Now I'm famous because
they
need to go and research who the fuck I am. Like you love Kanye. We both do. But Miley Cyrus, that's my motherfucking boo. I love that little girl. You know what I'm saying? Everyone wanted her to be Anna Montana for her whole motherfucking life. And when she became an adult, she became a fucking adult. And people hated her because she was no longer Miley Cyrus. Miley is worth $360 million. She worth $360 million because of one fucking hater. One hater hated on her and caused all of these people to go research who the fuck she was. And now today, she is worth $360 million.
Because controversy sells.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Controversy, whether good or bad controversy, it sells. You know, it's us being authors.
That's why rap beef. That's why
rap
beef. Rappers beef.
But, you know, for those in the urban literary world, because, you know, we see it all the time on Facebook, authors beefing with authors, they're beefing with publishers, and people be like, you know, that's not a good look for you.
But everybody
on a realistic
wants to see what's going on.
This one particular author and publisher, we're not going to say no names, you know, she go live with a whole bunch of her stuff.
And everybody
and then people
know,
be asking, like, well, what's she talking
about?
Who's she beefing
what's
with? And then you go into her page and you looking her up or you looking up the person she beefing with, and you're not really doing anything but adding to their clout, whether it's good clout or bad clout. Because you so nosy,
and then,
you're going to look it up.
Because I'm a nosy motherfucker. So when I'm speaking about me, Desi Baby. When I hear about all this beef shit, I'm finna go look it up. So guess what? You done got another fan because now I can't see your page because it's private. I'm finna send you a friend request just so I can see all your mess.
But and that happens so often. People be so nosy. They friend requesting you to see the page. Or if you got them blocked or you're not adding them, they go on to somebody else's page who is your friend so that they can see your page.
And there go one more view added to your motherfucking video or to your page.
Patrick still
ain't accept my friend request, but it's okay because I could see his page. You know, so oh man, so yeah, it's craziness,
but it's
controversy sells.
Exactly, and it's the reality of what it really is. You know, we talking about it and we joking about it, but it's really us. We're like other people. We nosy. You know,
yeah.
We don't air our
I
dirty
know,
laundry or the things we do. But you know,
I'm nosy as
somebody,
shit.
You know,
I ain't
we
even
we see some drama like most people. You know, we turning our heads to look and see like, hey, what's going on over there. You know, we may not get caught up in it, but everybody at some point looks. Nobody ever fully really turns their head unless they're just emotionally devoid of something.
Yep. I mean, because it ain't – this is not a world today of throw rocks, hide your hands. Everybody throwing rocks and standing on the front line to see who's going to fight back. So – it's the world. It's the world the way it is. It sells.
Right. Or when people do throw those rocks, you know, they're usually doing it in a crowd of people, so we already know who threw the rock. We ain't got to worry about who's going to fight back because, you know, we standing right there with you. We saw you throw it.
Yes.
Oh, we don't know where that rock came from. Yes, we do. You just threw the motherfucker right there. You going to have that one person who's going to be like, no, you just did it. Why don't you?
Yep. That one person. Bitch, you know you threw that rock. Why you trying
right.
to say you don't know? That one person is me. I saw you throw that shit, girl. Go ahead on and fess up to your shit. Because that's who I mean, because that's who I am. If I did it, I'm going to say I did it. If I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize. But most times I'm not going to apologize because I feel like I ain't wrong. So, you know, I don't fight unless somebody fights me. So, this is the world we live in. You got to have controversy in order to get ahead. And that's just the reality of the world we live in.
But not bad controversy, because sometimes you can have good controversial things.
Definitely.
You know, I'm lying. Most all controversy is bad. Most of all it is bad.
Like that 1% that it's okay. That little 1%, it exists.
That is true.
I mean,
that 1%, it does exist. Is the controversy worth it? In some instances, absolutely. Like people probably listening to the show, like, oh, y'all is wild.
Y'all
wild
and out. Who these motherfuckers is? Let me go look them up. I'm Dia Sante. I'm author of Dia Sante. Go look.
She's throwing
up.
Her stuff out there. Listen, I'm Pammy Gates. What you get is what you get. You know, like, what you get is what. My page
what
show
you,
it. What you see is what you get.
That's it. That's who I am. You know, and back to the mask. At some point, my face get itchy and sweaty, so, you know, I try to stay away from the mask.
Man, F that. I break out too easily. Forget a mask.
Exactly.
Okay? This show is called Out the Gate with Pammy Yates.
Out
what
the
you get is what you get.
Because that's where we are.
When you pick up a book, what you get is what you get. When you talk to me on a regular basis on the phone, what you get is what you get. You know,
like your intro song says, what if God was one of us? Yeah, let's go. Let's get it, you know. Unapologetic. Out the gate.
Let's stop using the word unapologetic. Let's just say be you. Because then when you say unapologetically, like our guest has said before, why am I apologizing? Is it not right to be me?
Yep. Why apologize for being myself? So be you. Like I say, be you, be awesome, be you. Be awesome, be you. If you follow my Instagram, you will see that hashtag on most of my photos. Be awesome, be you. Be the most awesome you that you can fucking be. And that means be whoever the fuck you are and be great at it.
Keyword, be great, okay? You determine your level of greatness, not the world. Because
the world
can say that I suck, but as long as I believe that I'm great, in my Kanye West way, I'm great, okay, all the fucking time, all right? You know, whether I'm wrong, whether I'm right, I'm always great, okay?
Always.
I'm the same chick.
Whoever the fuck don't think I'm great, that's your problem.
Exactly.
Whoever the fuck got a problem with you, guess what? It's not your problem. It's theirs. So you be great in the greatest way that you know how to be great and let them motherfuckers hate.
You know,
let
I'm the same chick.
I wake up
in the morning and I meditate. Hell, I might even pray with you. But I'm also the same chick that love her whiskey straight. And I cuss like a sailor.
You know what I'm saying? And that's, I'm not a drinker. And the reason being is when I was 23 years old, I woke up in my motherfucking driveway and didn't remember how to get there. Now, mind you, I will have
a
drink,
sound like
but
the
I know my
shit
limit.
That I was doing at 15. Wait a second.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how long I had been drinking long before I was old enough to drink. You know? And it had gotten to a point where it masked things for me. So I was drinking and smoking weed for years, you know. And when I woke up in that fucking driveway at 23, in a drunken stupor, I remember getting on the interstate, driving about 25 miles east, getting off the interstate, going 10 more miles east, and then coming back midway between that 25 and 35 to get to my house. I don't remember shit but getting on the interstate. And when I woke up that next morning in my driveway, I told myself and I told the Lord that I wasn't ever going to get that drunk again. You know, and today, I'd rather smoke a blunt. Whoever's listening, oh well. I'd rather smoke a blunt today before I drink a drink. Because I know when I'm smoking, I'm at the fucking house. I'm at the house. I'm not going to be sitting in nobody's bar smoking a blunt. Now I don't smoke anymore, but that would be my choice.
Now, I'll go to the bar and smoke a cigar.
You know, if I had to choose between having a drink and having a blunt, give me the fucking blunt. You know, but that's just me.
As I silently push my bottle of Jack to the side as you say that.
You know, I have a date with Jack Daniels when this call is over. We all have our own choices. Some of us choose to shop. Some of us choose to gamble. Some of us choose to drink. Some of us choose recreational drugs. It is what it is. Who am I to judge you? That's
society?
What people fail to realize. That's what people fail to realize. When you point that one finger at me, you got three points back at you. So open your closet. Count your skeletons.
We have another caller on the line, Desi.
Yeah,
caller,
come on in.
I'm going to bring you live. If you don't want to say anything, you don't have to. Caller.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hello. Oh,
hello,
I think
caller.
Our caller doesn't want to say anything.
Oh,
so I'm going to go ahead and mute
shy?
Them back. I don't think they're being shy. They're not obligated to say anything. They're listening to us. We probably sound ratchet
well,
as ever
listening.
To them.
Girl, every fucking thing. It is what it is.
Let me not use that term ratchet. I don't even like the word ratchet. We're being
ratchet.
Ourselves.
She ratchet.
No.
Oh, that was
not
my baby. That was my baby on the other end.
Yo,
she was like,
L?
Was she talking to me? That was my daughter, my 24-year-old.
Oh, hey, daughter.
You should have
said
what
your
something
mom
about
really
being
like.
Who you are. You know who you are. Love the skin you in. I've been telling you that all your life. So, yes, you know. And that, you know, back to being who we are. I have told my kids all their lives because I was told that I had to be a certain way and I had to do a certain thing. But for my children, all I wanted for them to do a certain way is graduate high school. That's all I wanted them to do. That's the only goal that I forced on them is to do great in school, graduate from school. College isn't for everybody. So I cannot force you to go beyond 12th grade. I can't force you to go to 12th grade, you know. But as long as you're in my house, you're going to get your ass up and pretend like you're going to school. So if you got to get up, put a uniform on, put a backpack on, might as well go to school. But all of their lives, I told them to be who the fuck they are. Don't wear a mask for anybody. Don't conform. Don't try to fit in because there's only one you. So whoever wants to be like you, they can never be you. So you can't be them. Be you, be the best you that you can be. Live your best motherfucking life being who you are.
Word to the wise. Thank you, Sensei. We have about 7 minutes left, Desi. We've had a wonderful conversation. We've shown the world that behind everything you see on Facebook, this is who we truly are, and we truly talk about whatever the hell comes
everything.
Out of our mouth.
Everything we write about, we talk about, and then some.
I don't write about everything we talk about, no. Because then people will really think that, you know, I was legitimately crazy.
I mean, we talk about it. We discuss it. We don't, like, discuss it in person. I mean, we talk about it as a book, as a character.
No, because some
be
of
like,
those things
yeah, let's go
that I write
somebody.
About, I'd be like, yeah, I probably would stab somebody. Yeah, but, you know, but.
Well, you know me. I can't really say over the air what I've done. So we're just going to slide right on past that.
Tonight's conversation has been it's been fun. And that's really where Desi and I wanted everyone to go was to just have fun. Because the more you have fun, the more you allow yourself to really be out there. The more
you can do it with a smile on your face.
Right. The more you will see
it.
Your life progressing in a way you could never have imagined. That's you know, that's the little philosopher in me.
That's it. That is it.
But as we wind
the more
down,
you
know,
live.
These,
if you line down
the more you live, what?
The more you live, the more you learn. You know, you learn to be happy. You know, and if you cannot.
I disagree with you.
Happy life. If you can't live a happy life, what's the point?
Happiness is not learned.
Happiness.
You learn to read. okay? You learn to speak. You learn to do math. You learn those
things.
That's happiness hard. Is felt, okay? Happiness
mm-hmm.
is you feeling you, not you feeling happy because, oh, your favorite TV show is on. No, your happiness, true happiness, comes from you. It's not a taught emotion. It's you. It's a felt emotion, okay? Nobody
when I
can
say
teach
learn,
you.
I didn't mean in that aspect. When I say it's learn, you learn to unzip, unwind, and let that happiness that you have inside out. I didn't mean that you can teach me how to be happy. I mean that we learn to unwind and let the happiness that's suppressed inside out. Because if you, like, back to the mask, if you constantly wear a mask, then you're covering up the happiness that you have inside. When you learn to take that fucking mask off, you unleash your happiness. Because it's always there. It should always be there. I'm not going to say it's always there because we got some miserable bitches out there that don't know how to be happy because they haven't learned that they have to be themselves in order to enjoy the happiness that's inside of them. I didn't mean that it was a taught emotion because it's not. You can't read a book and learn how to be happy.
Some people believe
that's
you can't. That's why self-help is so popular because some people believe that you can. Yes, you can learn
technique. Maybe I'm in the wrong genre.
Shut up. Yes, you can learn techniques, but those techniques only help you pull off, as she said, the mask. They help you unzip that cover that's binding you. That's all those techniques do. But that true happiness that you feel and that you see afterwards, that came from you. That didn't come from
that
book.
That
book just taught you how to take that mask off.
It's been suppressed. That's it. It's helping you release the helium and be happy. I love talking. I love this show. I love this show.
In our final 2 minutes of life, in our final 2 minutes of Out the Gate, this is, you know, my weekly plug of the works of Pamesh and the works of my co-host, Miss Desi Baby. So I'm going to let Desi go first. Desi, what's on the agenda that's coming up out of Deshanta's world? I can never get it right, but she know what I mean.
The Ashante,
my fault, y'all. You know, mm-hmm. She's from New Orleans.
So I have Thug Story, Not a Love Story 2 and 3 coming your way soon, within the next 30 days. So that's all I have right now.
Well, coming soon from the desk of Pamesh, you can, well, actually, first, let me tell you, get caught up on part one of Finesse and the D. You know,
yes.
Pussy do kind of make the world go around, so just let y'all know that. But catch up on Finessing the D because pretty soon Finessing the D Reloaded will be out.
Woo-hoo.
If you are a fan of my Sold Into Marriage series, catch up on parts 1 through 3 because I have a special treat for you guys, plus much more. Also, catch me next week for Out the Gate with Pammy Gates with my special co-host, Miss Desi Baby. She coming back again, y'all. Next week, she'll
Woo-hoo.
Be back one more time. And we'll have another guest co-host joining us. So please join us for the raw and real talk as we bring you the true us. Also, you know, follow us on Facebook at
Desiree Osprey the Ashante Jackson.
And author Pamesh Gates and Out the Gate Live. Thanks, everyone, for joining us this evening. See you guys next week.
Have a good night, guys.
Oh, DJ Khaled, Cosmic Music.
We the best.
Yeah.
We taking over.
Listen. Carolina, spread out with South Carolina.
about Miss Different.